The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? O Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then will I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? O Lord, you're my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? O Lord, you're my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? O Lord, you're my light and my salvation. Of whom then will I be afraid? O Lord, you're my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? All thanks, all glory, all praise belongs to the King. And we'll have no other King but King Jesus. And that's proving out to be more and more true every day. Thank you. Now as we go to the Word of God, that love letter that you've sent us, Lord, so we should not be ignorant of your ways, ignorant of your will. You've sent us your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the time of worship that we've had and lifting up our voices to you, reminding us that in each and every day let praise be found in our mouths. If there be anything praiseworthy, let us shout that out. Let us say those things. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that's become particularly important this week, I think, with some of the things that are coming out. And I am thankful how the Lord is revealing darkness. He's busting many myths, so to speak. And of course, showing the difference between a secular society, as so often that we've become, and the true church, what true Christians are, what true Christians believe. And so today I want us to take a look at Romans chapter 1 first up. Romans chapter 1. And of course, Romans chapter 1 has 31 verses in it. So those of us that are reading today, we will read eight verses each, and one will read seven. So the first three will read eight, and then I will read seven, starting with the beautiful Mrs. Lear.
So Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 from the English Standard Version. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. That was Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 from the English Standard Version.
Continuing in English Standard Version, verses 9 through 16. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may know at last succeed in coming to you. I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That was Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 16 from the English Standard Version.
I'm reading from the International Version, Romans chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Mm-hmm. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by the wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they never glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity. For the degrading of their bodies with one another, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. I read from Romans chapter 1, the International Version, verses 17 through 25.
And I'm reading from the Geneva Translation, Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men left the natural use of the woman, and burned in their lust one toward another, and man with man wrought filthiness, and received in themselves such recompense of their error as was meet. For as they regarded not to acknowledge God, even so God delivered them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being full of all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, of murder, of debate, of deceit, taking all things in the evil part, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, doers of wrong, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, such as can never be appeased, merciless. which men, though they knew the law of God, how that they which committed such things are worthy of death, yet not only do the same, but also favor them to do them. And I've just read from the Geneva translation, Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. I'd like to use as a theme for us today, things come apart so easily when they have been held together with lies. Things come apart so easily when they have been held together with lies. You probably noticed in the news this week a report, a scientific report, if you will. It was called Sexuality and Gender: Findings from the Biological, Psychological, and Social Sciences. The study was conducted by a world-renowned Johns Hopkins University scientist, Dr. Lawrence Mayer and Dr. Paul McHugh. It's a meta-analysis of data from over 200 peer-reviewed and left-leaning studies regarding sexual orientation and gender identity. It was published in the fall 2016 edition of the New Atlantis Journal, and is far and away the most objective, exhaustive, and comprehensive study on the topic to date. I'm not going to read the whole report, but I'm going to read some of the most important aspects of it, because it certainly is in keeping with things come apart so easily when they have been held together with lies, as we're seeing so much of in our the move towards a secular society and away from the truth that we have just read in God's Word. The research established, among other things, the understanding of sexual orientation as an innate, biologically fixed property of human beings. The idea that people are born that way is not supported by scientific evidence. Sexual orientation in adolescence is fluid over the life course for some people, with one study estimating that as many as 80% of male adolescents who report same-sex attractions no longer do so as adults. Compared to heterosexuals, non-heterosexuals are about 2 to 3 times as likely to have experienced childhood sexual abuse. Gay-identified people are at an elevated risk for a variety of adverse health and mental health outcomes. Gay-identified people experience nearly 2.5 times the risk of suicide. The hypothesis that gender identity is an innate fixed property of human beings that is independent of biological sex, that a person might be a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body, is not supported by scientific evidence. Studies comparing the brain structures of transgender and non-transgender individuals do not provide any evidence for a neurobiological basis for cross-gender identification. Sex reassigned individuals are about 5 times more likely to attempt suicide and about 19 times more likely to die by suicide. The rate of lifetime suicide attempts across all ages of transgender individuals is estimated at 41%, compared to under 5% in the overall U.S. population. Only a minority of children who experience cross-gender identification will continue to do so into adolescence or adulthood. Things come apart so easily when they have been held together with the lies. This obviously for the LGBTQR whatever population was not good news at all. It's not a surprise to us as Christians, and I suppose there are some Christians, and unfortunately here in America, many that are in American Christianity are basically feckless and weak. Feckless, of course, is cowardly and weak, because instead of standing up for the truth we've just read out of Romans chapter 1, which is interesting how that chapter begins, because it begins with quite a salutation, if you will, if you look at verse 7. To all you that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember at the time that this portion of Scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what was going on in Rome. Rome was pagan, a pantheon of gods, sexual immorality of all sorts, and so forth and so on. And so here we have true Christians in the midst of a very dangerous society, and yet they're being commended by the apostle here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Some people have wondered whether it was actually Paul that the Lord used to write the book of Romans, but it's obvious that it is him. And of course, what's he saying? You're called to be saints. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's fast forward to 2016 as Christians ourselves. That we're commended, first of all, that we're in a society that is not of our making, in a society that has gone a direction that is not biblical, that is not Christian, that is not on the foundation, particularly in America, that we were given, the original foundation of this country being decidedly Christian and decidedly biblical. But yet, we're still expected to be the saints of God. And of course, is that conveyed on who are the saints of God? Now, some church denominations have believed the saints of God are only extraordinary individuals that have been somehow canonized or identified and whatever else. But this is a general statement to all those that are Christians. You're the saints of God in the midst of a society that's against you. Yet here's what I commend upon you. Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need today. If the true church in America, the American Christian church, is going to stop being feckless and weak, stop being cowardly and weak, and understand the Lord has been sending us a lot of help with his grace. This report this week coming out, bust the myth that people saying, well, I'm born this way, there's no way that I can help myself in that, and all this other stuff that people have just continued to buy into and accept. And of course, things come apart so easily when they have been held together with lies. We've been told these lies over and over and over again, and the lie told over enough and often enough, sometimes people accept it as a truth. And so the Lord's helping us with his grace, and of course, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by his word, these things that are pointed out there. And of course, in verse 10, where it says, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. The will of God. How many people are asking themselves on a daily basis, am I doing the will of God? Do I even know what the will of God is to do? And many people, of course, and I'll refer to this a little bit later in a statement, they're not really asking that question at all. And in verse 13, now my brethren, I would that you should not be ignorant how that I have oftentimes purposed to come to you, but have been let hitherto, that I might have some fruit also among you, as I have among the other Gentiles. This issue of ignorant, the Lord does not want to keep us ignorant. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know his will, and wants us to know his ways. And of course, he's revealed those things by the very Bibles that we're holding in our hands right now, looking at the Word of God, so that we cannot say, I'm ignorant of it. If you're ignorant of it, and I made the statement to somebody this week saying, do you really want to know the will of God? Do you really want the wisdom of God? Because if you want the wisdom of God, he says, ask for it, as it says in James, ask for his wisdom and he will give it to you. But see, some people are asking not for the wisdom of God, they're asking for a wise way to function, so to speak, in a secular society and not be identified as in opposition. The Lord's not going to give you that kind of wisdom. He's going to give you the wisdom to be able to stand strong against the forces of evil and darkness and so forth that are seeming to get a lot of ground achieved in this particular time. But the Lord is revealing the darkness in places that it's dark. I mean, things are coming out, whether it's archaeological things that they're finding that prove the Bible to be true, or statements like these scientists have made that prove exactly what Romans chapter 1 says concerning the unnatural acts of certain people. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't like to face the fact that what verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Grecian." Of course, some translations would render that the Gentile, the Jew first and the Gentile. "For by it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So what does it mean for the just to live by faith? Who are the just? Those are the people who recognize through repentance that they have been sinners saved by grace, and they're justified. Just if I had not committed any sin, I'm justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, standing in the presence of the Lord, just as if I had not sinned. Yet recognizing the fact that sin is real, the same thing as there are people who have believed that sickness is not real, sin is not real, these are all illusions and whatever else. But anyone who's been sick with one thing or another recognizes how real it is and how painful it can be. And so the just shall live by faith. And this is coming more and more true, as it was even at that time, in the pagan culture that the Christians were living in Rome, and all the sexual immorality and all the cheating and stealing and lying and everything else that went on there, which sometimes we think in America today that this is the first time this kind of stuff has ever happened. But it's not the first time. Not at all the first time. It may not even be close to the worst time, because Rome had no basis in Christianity. Rome had no Christian foundation the way America has. It didn't have a system of jurisprudence, for example, that was built on Scripture and God's truth. And in verse 18, this is probably one of the things that, by today's standard, many churches don't want to address, and that makes them feckless and weak. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, which withhold the truth and unrighteousness." Okay, withhold the truth. There are people standing against the truth. Well, you can't stand against the truth. Things come apart so easily when they've been held together with lies. You can't stand against the truth. God's truth is marching on, as the old song said. But the thing that people don't want to face up is, does God have wrath? Does he show his wrath? Is there judgment upon the earth as there's flooding and there is deprivation of one thing or another? Or there's drought? I mean, are these occurrences that are just totally unrelated to anything of God? Well, I would suggest they're not totally unrelated. And there are people, of course, that wrath is, who's it being poured out on? Ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who withhold the truth and unrighteousness. And for us, we cannot withhold the truth that we're reading in, just like what we're reading here in Romans 1. It's not a loving thing to withhold truth from people and tell them you weren't born that way. And science is proving those things out. You weren't born that way. So you're behaving in this manner, which is an unrighteous way, and it's going to bring the wrath of God upon you. And of course, as the Center for Disease Control has pointed out, of the rampant sexually transmitted diseases and so forth, particularly among homosexual men and in other sexual behaviors that are not scriptural, not Christian, not moral, not right. And the issue of the fact that we're talking about stuff that's not even natural. You know, for example, back a while ago when I made a statement to somebody about saying, well, I believe in natural marriage, traditional marriage, natural sexuality within the confines of heterosexual marriage. You have to define this stuff to people anymore because they think that it is whatever they want it to be. if you look at verse 24, wherefore also God gave them up to their heart's lusts, unto uncleanness, to defile their own bodies between themselves. As we've talked to about heroin addiction, we've talked about all these other things that are going on. God has given them up to their heart's lusts. Why people lust in their heart to do stuff like that, and God gives them over to doing that. Okay, it's just like saying, you know, if you're really determined to do that, well, okay, go and do it. You know, I'm not going to restrain you anymore. Go and do it. And you can see what the consequences are. And so they've been left to defile their own bodies between themselves, which turned the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, forsaking the Creator, which is blessed forever. Amen. And of course, as we look in our Declaration of American Independence, talking about Creator, that word that we see right here also in verse 25, Romans 1, forsaking the Creator, which is blessed forever. Amen. And of course, the natural aspect of things, and even Thomas Jefferson, who might have not been the greatest evangelical Christian, recognized the fact that there is a natural moral law. And when that moral law is forsaken, that's dangerous not only to a country, it's dangerous to a people. And once again in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Okay, so we see the word natural and nature in that verse 26 used together, that God gave them up. That's twice that God gave them up. Verse 24, verse 26, God gave them up. What does that mean? Does he not want them to be saved? Does he not care about them? Does he not love them? Well, of course not. He loves them. He created them in his own image, but they were determined to go against him and go against nature. So he's saying, okay, go find out what that's about. And they've been finding out, but verse 28, God delivered them up. Once again, another giving them up. God delivered them up unto a reprobate mind. And so we see people in our society right now doing these things that are reprobate, these things that are not natural, these things that are not righteous, these things that are not moral, and yet we're trying to, in our secularized society, enshrine them, and the church does not want to stand up against that. Here's an interesting quote from the man that started the Salvation Army, William Booth. This is from over 100 years ago. I consider the chief dangers that confront coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. That's 100 years ago he prophesied that, and that's what's happening right now. And that's part of the problem. And so if American Christianity, which many times we've been told in America, the church is not relevant anymore. Well, maybe there are certain churches that are not relevant anymore, but Christ is as relevant as he's ever been. He's certainly as needed as he's ever been. Salvation and righteousness in Christ is as needed as it's ever been. Okay? So if American Christianity is to survive, we must stand boldly and unapologetically on the Word of God. I don't apologize, as it says here, for not being ashamed of the gospel, right? Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles and to the Grecians. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to read this. I'm not ashamed to say I believe this. And so in American Christianity, many people are ashamed to declare what the Word of God says. And that's part of the problem, isn't it? So we've got to stand boldly and unapologetically on God's word. We must know God's word, and we must live out God's word. Now, the question I have for a lot of people, that are functionally illiterate in God's Word. They spend so much time knowing what's on TV, knowing who won sports. And yesterday, Kathy and I were talking about that. I couldn't tell you who even won the World Series last year. I couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. I mean, I probably knew it for a day or two or a week or two, but I can't remember it. But I can tell you what, I can quote these verses out of the Bible. And I'm saying that to all American Christians too right now. You better be able to know God's Word and know what it truly says about the behaviors of people. And so, why don't we replace the muzzle that's been put on us with a megaphone? See? And here's a little encouraging poem, if you will. Now let our mourning hearts revive, and all our tears be dry. Why should those eyes be drowned in grief, which view a Savior nigh? What though the arm of conquering death does God's own house invade? What though the prophet and the priest be numbered with the dead? The eternal shepherd still survives, new comfort to impart. His eye still guides us, and his voice still animates our heart. Lo, I am with you, saith the Lord. My church shall safe abide, for I will ne'er forsake my own, whose souls in me confide. The spacious firmament on high, with all the blue ethereal sky, and spangled heavens a shining frame, their great original proclaim. The unwearied sun from day to day does his Creator's power display, and publishes to every land the work of an almighty hand. Soon as the evening shades prevail, the moon takes up the wondrous tale, and nightly to the listening earth repeats the story of her birth, whilst all the stars that round her burn, and all the planets in their turn, confirm the tidings as they roll, and spread the truth from pole to pole. What though in solemn silence all move round the dark terrestrial ball? What though nor real voice nor sound amidst their radiant orbs be found? In reason's ear they all rejoice and utter forth a glorious voice, forever singing as they shine. The hand that made us is divine. As we've been praying for revival, renewal, restoration, a spiritual revolution, we want to pray for the liberation of biblical truth. And there's an interesting thing about truth, and of course, as I had used as a theme for us, things come apart so easily when they have been held together with lies. But the liberation of biblical truth is kind of, the truth is like a lion, and all you have to do is set it free and it will defend itself. I don't need to defend the Word of God. All I need to do is be participating in the liberation of biblical truth. And we're at war like any soldier, and we must train to fight well. Another verse that we could put in thinking today, from Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That's from the English Standard Version. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And what is our reasonableness? We're not unreasonable people to declare the Word of God. In fact, we'd be very unreasonable people if we didn't. I want to look at another verse that's in Matthew chapter 7 at verse 13. It's a good reminder when we have people out there telling us that we're wrong to be proclaiming the gospel, and the directions we're taking are wrong, and so forth and so on. And of course, in this very tolerant society that doesn't want to tolerate God's word and tolerate God's people. And so in verse, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it says, reading from the Geneva, enter in at the straight gate, for it is the wide gate and broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereafter. And of course, isn't it interesting? We're talking about unrighteousness and mentioning about homosexuality and so forth, entering at the straight gate. That's interesting. Entering in at the straight gate, for it is the wide gate and broad way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And so when we're warning people that the let it all hang out attitude, which is not biblically true and biblically correct or right or moral or any of those things, and as people are constantly saying, what does morality have to do with anything? Morality has to do with everything. I mean, even as we recognize from biblical truth what morality is, we also recognize from natural truth. And that was one of the things, of course, in our declaration from Thomas Jefferson about recognizing God and nature's God. That there are things we know intellectually from God's word and from what he's placed in our spirit through the Holy Spirit teaching us, but there are things we see in nature. Things that are unnatural are very prominent, and nature shows what's unnatural. Okay. Many people want God to lead them. I mentioned this earlier on. And think about this for a minute. Many people are saying, yes, I believe there's a God. I'm not going to really honor him or proclaim him, but I believe there's a God. And I want God to lead me. But I want God to lead me in my way, not his way. I want God to lead me in my way, not his way. We should be praying and asking, Lord, what is your way? You've revealed it through your word. Lead me in your way, Lord. And of course, this is what the beginning of the chapter of Romans 1, where the Apostle Paul was saying this. I don't want you to be ignorant. I am being led by the Lord in his way. I'm not asking him to do it my way. I'm not asking him to lead me in my way. I'm asking him to lead me in his way. And of course, that's very difficult. And of course, when Paul was on the Damascus Road that we read about in the book of Acts, and he had that experience with the Lord, and Jesus said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Of course, what that meant was, and using King James language, is that it's very difficult to go against the natural way. It's very difficult to go against the Lord's will. But it is human nature to do that. And so a new nature has to be created in us. The Lord creates that new nature, and then it becomes easier and easier not to kick against God's will, but say, Lord, I just want you to direct me. I want you to lead me in your way, not my way. And of course, those people who are kicking against the pricks, those that are wanting to be led in their way, they're not going to accept any authority or restraint. You know, and the people in society now who want to be involved in all this aberrant stuff, they'll say, by what authority you tell me that I have to not do this? And you're trying to restrain me. That's one of the reasons why, of course, we become, as true Christians who believe in the Word of God, we become the target. Because we are the one that hinders. We're the one that restrains. Who's out there? Why are they not against the Buddhists? Why are they not against the Hindus? Why are they not more even against the Muslims? Because the Muslims restrict a lot of this behavior too. They have a system in their Sharia that's whatever else. But it's because the truth of God's word, the Bible, and true Christians living God's way and wanting to be led in God's way instead of their own way, they accept that authority of Christ. And that's what, of course, is the big rub against. Another little poem for us. Or I should say, not quite a poem, but just a challenge. To live a life of humility, a life of repentance, a life of yieldedness, a life of bold intercession, a life of commitment to the Great Commission. I'll read that again. A life of humility, which a life of humility has at least four consecutive parts, if you will. A life of repentance, a life of yieldedness, a life of bold intercession, a life of commitment to the Great Commission. And of course, the Great Commission of Mark 16:15, and Matthew 28:19, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And isn't it interesting that that was not just given to the Apostle Paul or to the early apostles? That's an ongoing given to all of us, preach the gospel. And of course, as many people like to quote Thomas of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And so the idea of being led not in our own way, not standing against true authority of the Lord in our lives, or the restraints that we have by going in through the straight gate, you know, that there are lines on the road, stay between those lines. And things truly come apart so easily when they have been held together with lies. A lot of things are coming apart because they're held together with lies. Well, Father God, thank you for this teaching today. Thank you for inspiring us with it. Thank you for encouraging us with it. And Holy Spirit, through our daily lives, throughout this week to come, that we remember these things at the appropriate times when we're facing up to things, and that we would not be feckless or weak Christians, that we would be strong and bold, not offensive in the sense of going out to offend people, but to defend people from a secular world and those that have been given over to reprobate mind, those that are being given over to the way that they want to go, to remind them at any point in time, if they're willing to repent, the Lord's willing to forgive. We thank you, we praise you, Jesus, in your name, amen and amen. Glory to God.